Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
We are going to be diving deep into the science of personal transformation today, or how to basically chemically glow up. We're exploring how you can literally rewire your brain and reshape your reality through proven neuroscience techniques. So you know the phrase when everybody's like, oh, that altered my brain chemistry. And I know we use it as like a joke, but the phrase is actually derived from science because it's true. We can literally do that. So if you've ever felt like you're stuck in negative thought patterns, or maybe you wish that you can view life through like a more positive lens, this episode is going to be your gateway to understanding how. We're going to dive into powerful practices that can help you build new neural pathways in your brain, how to boost happiness levels, and basically just create like a lasting positive change in your life. And I'll be breaking down scientific evidence behind these transformative techniques as well, so it's not just your girl yapping in the mic. So get ready to discover how you can take control of your brain's chemistry and create a more vibrant, confident, and joy-filled like version of yourself. And this isn't about like temporary changes. We're talking about fundamental shifts that can alter how you experience life on a daily basis. And if you're new here, this may not make sense, and I'm going to do it really quickly for like 1 minute, but I did promise to spill some tea and give a little update on why I haven't posted an episode in honestly like a few months. I'm consistent enough with it. Like, I usually post like weekly, so this is like a big, it took a lot for me not to post. So I wanted to fill in listeners if you were wondering. And if you're new here, this will be super quick and you can like skip forward like a minute if you'd like. But basically, yeah, so I had this job. This is like literal tea, so like sit down. This is like gossip from my life, and I want to make it quick because I don't want the whole episode to be gossip. But one of my jobs that I've been working it for a long time, all of a sudden, a few months ago, I literally didn't get paid for like 1 month, and I reached out to my employer, and I repetitively, I guess, got ignored. Like, I reached out like 3 to 4 times at the start to be like, hey y'all, I just did work for you. Like, I've been working each week, like the hours and everything, and like I did not get paid. And I sent like multiple messages and they were all ignored. And it was a whole thing. But basically, yeah, I didn't get paid for a month. And then the next month, obviously, I didn't get paid either. So that was a lot mentally for me to take in. Like, imagine getting ghosted by someone and then getting ghosted by your job. I was like, bro. And then I had no money for that month or the next month, so my finances were a little bit off from it. So I ended up taking more shifts at another job to make up for like the 2 months of pay I was not getting. And I got so caught up in that job. I was doing like physical labor, and I was doing it to make up for the fact I wasn't making the money, which, if you're hearing me talk about it, it was like a scarcity mindset. It was like an identity issue. I basically attached my worth to the job, and once the job, I've talked about this in like episodes, so it is cool I'm bringing it up, I guess, because sometimes when things happen in the moment, you're not thinking, and you just get so caught up in the emotions, and that's human. But I got caught up in the fact that I attached my identity to this job title, and it was like ripped from me, and then I was like who am I, like what am I? And then I couldn't get, you know, I started doing this other job to make up for it, and it wasn't work I love or anything like that, but I was in this like scarcity, like survival mode. Like, if I don't do this, I'm not. I stepped away from everything that I like have worked really hard on and like represent for myself, and even things like I talk about in the podcast. So it took me like 2 months, I think, to gather myself and like step back and be like, girl. And then I realized I wasn't like in my practices as much, and I was like cutting corners, and I wasn't like sleeping the best. Not every single day. I just mean for myself. I think I was still doing my things, and this wasn't as big of an issue as it is me saying it quickly on the mic. But overall, reflecting on myself, those are issues I noticed. So I'm back. I'm all good now. I probably realized it's like December. I started to realize it in October. Like, I kind of got myself back together. So from like August to October, I was like a little bit like frazzled with the work. I stepped back, and then I don't know. It did affect my self-worth. I found it really hard to want to post again because like I was like, who am I? Like, I don't even know what to like say. It just really messed with me, honestly, that title. And I'm okay with it now. And obviously there's like some anger with that situation, but I'm not going to sit and like dwell on it anymore. I've moved from it. But yeah, if y'all got any social media work, your girl's looking for an extra job. But yeah, that's the update. I just wanted to say, like, it was a thing again where, like, I attached my self-worth and who I am to that position, and it took time, but I was able to, like, let it go, and, like, I mourned it, which is normal, and I let it go, and I turned my priorities back to what they should be, and knowing that the universe is abundant, and the world is great, and there's so many opportunities out there, and things have been lining up for me since I shifted my mindset back to that. But I didn't want to give the update. Basically, I got ghosted from my job, and then I took on another job, and the podcast, like, I wanted to post, and I couldn't get myself to, because I wasn't feeling like myself, and then I felt like a fraud. And I wasn't, but I felt like a fraud trying to come on the mic when I was like going through all that. So yeah, that's why I was gone. I'm so sorry. Like, I started off the podcast on such like, I feel like a go lucky, happy note, but I wanted to give you the tea. Like, realistically, I wasn't going to say it. Like, it's been months. I haven't even told people about the whole thing, but I literally was like, I gotta be flat out honest with it. Like, it was an identity crisis. But yeah, we're gonna talk about how to rewire your brain. And these were things that I wrote this episode basically because these are the things I used to get back to my old self, like how to get myself to look at life again from, well, I wasn't like totally down, but like I said, there were days where I was looking at life in a lens that wasn't so positive, or like, there's nothing out there for me, or like, why was this taken from me? Like, this is it. And obviously there's bigger and better. And I was able to reframe how I see the world and how I think and how I act in it using these tips. So let's get into it. If you are new here, welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast. This is the show that explores all the ways that we can add more happiness into your life, mind, body, and soul holistically. We talk about nutrition, wellness, fitness, girl talk, yoga, astrology, all of it. You can learn new habits, get healthier reminders, little recipe tips, and more. We basically talk about all the things that are really going to change your life. So I'm your host, Amanda McCormack. I am a registered yoga teacher, certified personal trainer, nutrition coach, and women's coaching specialist. I'm also a content creator and a photographer. I wear many hats, but I'm just exploring what makes me happy, and I want to open you up to that too. So if you're new here, welcome. Join us each week for new topics, meditations, guest interviews, so that you can start living your best life. Okay, so if you got too caught up in the tea, a little refresher about what I said first. I didn't want to open the episode with it, but what we were talking about is how we can rewire our brains. So this concept is not new. People get PhDs in this. It's called neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is literally the brain's ability to create new neural pathways and to change, to grow, to adapt to its environment over time. It's the same thing that cells go through on a cellular level, that people go through on like a generational level, like evolution. We're always changing and growing, and we have the ability to do that down to the last cell in our body. So our brain does it too, which is awesome. So you can totally rewire your brain to think completely differently than it does now. And you can create a reality where you love yourself more, where you're just more positive in general. And that's what we're going to get into. So I wrote down and created 5 practices and tips. I didn't create these. I just mean like, I created this list of things that you can do to rewire your brain. And that's going to be the first segment of the episode. And then our final segment are going to be things you can do to literally nourish your brain with some cool exercises as well. So it's kind of a dual part episode. You'll get educated on some of the background, the science, and then you'll get some cool tangible tips as well. Okay, tip number 1, don't get sick of me and don't exit out, because I've said it almost in every episode, but we're going to be talking about meditation. So in general, meditation, so many benefits physically, mentally. Today we're going to focus specifically on the brain. So you may know these things, but let's break it down. Meditation can actually lead to long-term default mood changes, which isn't just like a mood swing. It's just how, like, overall, you're going to be more happier day to day with a consistent practice, or you'll hit more highs during days consistently than you would before, if that makes sense. So not only can it change your mood to be somebody who is more confident, more happy, more grateful, more positive, but you can actually change your view of yourself, which we're going to talk about in the next step as well, like changing yourself to have more self-love, which I know is a big topic and something I want to integrate into this episode. I'm always getting a lot of questions on that, and I'm always working on that still too. So when we are in a meditative state, it increases the neurotransmitters and the neuromodulators, like dopamine, that's a neuromodulator, which is directly related to how motivated you are as an individual. So over time, if you do more meditation, you can become more motivated to actually take action on the things you enjoy or get things done that you don't enjoy. But it's scientifically proven to increase the dopamine, which is related to motivation in the body, which is really cool. It also increases serotonin, which is your body's natural mood booster. So that's going to make you happy on a day-to-day basis, or just give you that influx of like joy and that joyous feeling. It can increase your serotonin levels like over time. So not just again, after you meditate, you feel good and then it's gone. Just it steadily will increase the reserves that you have of that in your body. And then GABA as well. And GABA, if you've ever taken like a sleep supplement or anything for anxiety, you'll usually see that word on there. And GABA is a transmitter as well that can help you calm down, and it keeps you calm. So that's why people associate peace with meditation, because it truly increases the amount of GABA that you make in your brain. And if you're new to meditation, as usual, YouTube, Spotify has tons of free meditations out there that you can use that are guided to help you get into that state. Apps like Headspace are great as well. And I also have tons of free meditations on this podcast. So you can just type in the word meditation under the Happy Hippie podcast. And I have at least 10 meditations up here. I'm going to be trying to uploading more. And I'm thinking of uploading one as like a supplementary element to this during the week. So let me know if that's something you want, something that can help with neuroplasticity, especially just focusing in topics like that. But you can find them online, and I can talk about meditation forever. Episode 2 of this podcast is all about meditation. So we're going to move on to the next topic. Not only can we rewire our brain, but we can prime our brain to drive us towards our desired future. So manifesting kind of vibes, you know? Literally, visualization is our second point. And visualization, I'm going to show you how it affects the brain and why it's an actual thing. So when we regularly visualize things that we want, our brain responds by altering our behavior patterns and the interpretations of our surroundings in line with our imagined goal. I like to think about that example on a super small scale. You know, when you start thinking, if you're like in a car and you're on a road trip and you see a red car and you're going to play a game, how many red cars can you see? After a while, your brain is only going to spot out those red cars because you're super hyper focused on finding a red car. So that's the similar way to break this down, that when you imagine something or you visualize it or you want to see it, you're going to start seeing it in your surroundings or interpretations of your daily life. So the brain is going to become more receptive and open to opportunities that align with our visualizations while kind of filtering out any unwanted information that doesn't. So, which is good. That means it's going to filter out people's opinions or things that have turned you away or made you kind of fearful or scared to pursue this thing in the past. So when we visualize or imagine or think of, let's say, a stressful or negative scenario, our brain responds as if that's actually happening. So our nervous system prepares for fight or flight, and it literally releases the stress hormones. So stress hormones are cortisol and adrenaline. They get released and your body kind of goes into that fight or flight state. So that means that our heart rate can beat faster, we can have shortness of breath, and even our blood pressure can rise. And sometimes we don't notice this. This can be done multiple times a day on a super small scale or a larger scale, like if a car cuts in front of you and you can feel that like bit of your heart kind of shoot back or your breath get short, your blood pressure might go up from that, and you're not even taking note of these things. But our body does like put us into that when we just imagine things. Think about, like, you know, when you're laying in bed at night and you start thinking about like a conversation with someone you had years ago and you said something stupid and then you start getting stressed. Your body goes through a reaction of that because it's reliving it and it can't really tell the difference. So by imagining a stressful situation, even if we're stressing out, like we're running late to a plane, you know, like we're in the airport and we're stressing out the entire time, your body is having a physical reaction to the fact that you're nervous for something coming up. So you're creating a literal and physiological stress on the body. And we can think about this, like I know I'm talking about brain science, like literally neuroplasticity, but like I said before, like the law of attraction, manifesting, this is kind of the science of it, like the basis of it and why people kind of use the words interchangeably for this phenomenon. But law of attraction is supported by this. So think about when we shift our focus to what we want, like imagining a good life or those feelings, and keyword feelings, we'll come back to that. We keep our body in this like elevated state, aka a vibration. So we will see more of, or will attract more of, those positive opportunities or people because we're visualizing it in our minds. So when we're imagining like a serene or like peaceful setting, our brain triggers our nervous system to calm down and tells the body to relax. So that's why when we use visualizing techniques and meditations, like when I was taught to be a meditation teacher, and also just in general, you'll notice a pattern of it. We put sometimes visualizations in meditations because it helps the body, like there's like a switch in your brain where your nervous system actually starts to calm down. And it's the same thing. You can switch that to a stressful scenario and your nervous system will go the other way. And when you switch it to a more peaceful and serene thing, your body will calm down. So the bottom line is the images that we form in our mind create a physiological change in our body and therefore have the power to influence the reality that we actually get to experience. So one example I always like to go back to when I'm explaining this to people is the Michael Phelps example. So Michael Phelps has 23 gold medals and he has openly said, and you can find these interviews online, that he uses visualization to prepare. And there's something unique about the way he visualizes because it's not just what people from the outside of this topic may look at and go, oh, that's that like woo woo, like listen to what he does and I'll break it down. But he imagines, you know, swimming the course, practicing it. So not only like winning, but he also visualizes the things that could go wrong during a meet or during anything that he's doing and how he can fix it in that moment. So he'll run through those in his head, not just himself like easily swimming back and forth and like getting a medal, but if something went wrong, how can he fix that in this moment? So he said that he's visualizing and rehearsing all the scenarios, but always having a good outcome. This way, when he goes into practice, he's kind of ready for whatever's going to happen. And you can take that exact exercise. You can make that a meditation if you'd like. You can make that a journaling exercise. I think that's something that's so interesting to do. I know Mel Robbins has talked about that. I don't know which book off the top of my head. It's either the High Five Habit or the other one, the 5-second rule, where she talks about visualization. And she always talks about visualizing things going wrong and how you can pivot and fix it, because that's what's probably going to happen in a multitude of situations. Like things aren't always going to go like 100%. But if you really want it, you should visualize yourself coming through it so that you have the confidence to go through these things. So an exercise that you can do is getting really specific. It's kind of fun. You can do this like on an evening if you want to have friends over, or if you want to do it by yourself as like a self-care night. Getting really specific when you are designing your dreams. So you can do a Pinterest board, you can turn it into a journaling activity, or you can even do it as a meditation. If you would like, again, if you're interested, I could do a supplementary meditation to this episode where we do a little bit of this visualization technique. So you can shoot me a message on Instagram at happyholistichippie if that is something you want to do or you're interested in. I'd totally make a free one and just put it up on the pod. Also, I think you can comment now. I've literally been gone a few months. I'm like, I think you can comment on Spotify. I think you can leave comments. So let me know if you can do that on your phone. Feel free to leave a comment. Let me know if you're down for a guided meditation on here. Or again, hit me up on Instagram. But the key word I said before was feeling. So focusing on a feeling, you know, if you want to do a meditation or if you want to do some sort of journaling activity, and let's say your goal is you're designing like your dream home or you want to live in a different place in a certain type of home, yes, you can be like, okay, I want to live there. But getting specific with it can really help. Now, that could be specific in visual details, like designing how you want the room to look, where you want it to be. But sometimes just focusing on the feeling, like the feeling you would have if you walked into that space, how would you feel? You would feel cozy. You could feel comforted. That's what you kind of want to bring to life, because that's what lights up the centers in your brain, is when you're actually using the feelings. So when he was practicing in his visualizations, he would feel himself like going through the struggle, but then coming out victorious and like feeling that in his bones, basically. But focus on a feeling. So you can do a journaling activity, like I said, or you can practice this other one I wrote down, which is visualizing yourself in 6 months. So we can use this as a tool to kind of find out what you want, because sometimes we don't know what we want. Visualizing yourself 6 months down the line How do you want to feel? Just how do you want to feel? It doesn't have to be you getting a new job, you moving somewhere, you finding love, getting friends, whatever. Just think about how you want yourself to feel, and then you can kind of work backwards from those words that you come up with. So let's say when you're laying down and you're visualizing yourself out in 6 months, you can do a little bit of relaxation and then sit down and just visualize what feelings you want and note them as they come up. Energy. Let's say you want more energy. You want to be energetic. You want to go through your days and not feel sluggish and tired. And that's kind of what's coming up while you're sitting with your thoughts and your wants. From there, you can kind of make a game plan where you're like, oh, okay, well, a habit for that could be getting better sleep. Maybe it could be changing the type of physical activity you do. That's something that you want your future self to have, is energy. It could also be the feeling of wanting to be loved, like you want to be comforted in some way, whether that's finding a group of people, a partner, whatever. But you have that feeling come up where you're like, okay, 6 months from now, that version of me, she wants to be loved. And you can maybe find that love in different things, like joining groups or whatever. But that can also just help you pinpoint exactly what you want to manifest, which is gonna bring me into my next point, which is gratitude, because it goes hand in hand with the visualization and the feelings. Because when you're grateful for something, you can feel that as well, like come up in you. So I find personally gratitude, which is our next point, number 3, when I do like a gratitude meditation, I will instantly feel better in that moment. I know we're talking about not only quick hits of like changing our brain, but long-term good feelings. But I'm telling you, like, gratitude is so quick and something that I can physically feel it and attest to it. So you can really rewire your brain and be more happy and confident through gratitude. It basically shifts your neural circuits to feeling like you have something, and we do have a lot in our life. We can find tons of examples of any feeling we want, of love, abundance. It's all around us in different ways, and we can tap into that to feel those feelings that can bring us into finding, like I said before, like a viewfinder when we think we see like the red car on the road. When we're feeling those good feelings of gratitude for certain topics, for certain things like love, abundance, money, whatever, we'll start to see more of it around us in other people and other examples, and we'll start to be able to take more steps towards that. So you can think of like emotions of experiences that have happened to you, or the cool thing is you can even think of emotions of experiences that have happened to other people to shift the neurons in your brain. So one of the coolest things you can do is watching good things happen to others, like, you know, like Hopecore videos, like on TikTok or like whatever. If you find Hopecore videos and watch good things happen to other people, it lights up that center in your brain and it helps you find more good around you. It literally primes your brain to find the good in other situations, and it'll also make you notice the good things that are happening in your life, and it'll help call in like good positive experiences. So Hopecore, you can't go wrong with it. So number 3 is real short, but it ties into visualization. You can visualize, and just if you can't see a picture of something, just feel the emotions. Feel the emotions of the past, feel the emotions of another person, feel the emotions of a TV show character that you saw, you know? You can find inspiration for this anywhere, but gratitude is always going to be up there, always going to be king. So we're going to move on to number 4. So affirmations, they work, okay? I'm going to deep dive into this because they actually work. They can rewire your brain to think positively about yourself. So this is really good for the self-love department if we are honing in on an area, or if that stands out to you. If you want to speak kindly to yourself internally and be more confident as a result, affirmations are something great to incorporate into your routines, because affirmations activate the parts in your brain that are associated with rewards called neural regions. So the more you do it, you'll actually get like a feel-good feeling about yourself. There's real benefits in this as well. It's not just saying like, hey, I look pretty in the mirror. Like, you literally can reduce the neural responses to stress in your body, so you won't have as bad as like stress reactions. And they also increase your sense of personal worth. So Guess who leans into this heavily recently? That's why I really wanted to include these. So, and you can even power up your affirmations like squared, you know, by doing mirror work. I really want to emphasize that. If you're nitpicking yourself physically, like your physical appearance, something inside of you, like your self-worth in any way, Your brain will associate those things with you, okay? And you will start to believe them. Every time you see yourself in the mirror, you will subconsciously come up with the things that you see about, you say about yourself on a day-to-day, even if they're passing comments that you make about yourself while you're driving or doing something at work. When you see yourself in the mirror, they'll come up subconsciously, and you'll start to believe them over time. But the good thing is, we can flip that. So regardless of their truth, because they're not true, most of those things are just things that are, our ego side of the brain is just saying, we can flip them, you know? So depending on how you speak to yourself, especially in the mirror, you can shift your neural pathways to become somebody who has really low confidence or somebody who has really high confidence. And I do have some recommendations for this one, because I don't want to just be like, okay, affirmations in the mirror, next. Louise Hay is the queen of mirror work. I honestly think she's credited with it. I can't be for sure if she's the one who invented it, but she has a plethora of resources. Any book by Louise Hay will be your friend in this, to get examples or to get a little bit deeper on mirror work and how it works. But her resources are out there. She has free affirmations on YouTube. I'm pretty sure people have taken videos from her paid CDs and things from the 90s and put them online. So if you just type in literally Louise Hay and mirror work, mirror affirmations, her name and affirmations, you will find a lot of great free resources. So I would recommend her for sure. The next thing I'd recommend is Mel Robbins. She has a book called The High Five Habit, which is very similar. She's published by Hay House, so I know she talks about Louise Hay a lot in the book. I read it a few years ago, but it is mirror work heavy, and she also has some cool techniques that you can kind of take the topic of mirror work and bring it into your day-to-day when you're not by a mirror. So I'd recommend that as well. You can also, she's also really motivational, so if you're not familiar with Mel Robbins, you can check her out on Instagram and things like that. But The High Five Habit is the book that she has that is associated with it. Louise Hay has mirror affirmation cards, which I actually have, and they're an oracle deck pretty much. And you can take a card and put it up by your mirror every day for a new affirmation. It's also a cute gift. I do have that, I can't lie. And lastly, YouTube affirmations in general. The Wizard Liz has beauty affirmations, beauty and confidence affirmations. They are 8 minutes long. I play them every single morning when I'm doing my skincare. So you can repeat affirmations. You also don't have to. I'm pretty sure Louise Hay says you have to repeat them, but you can internally repeat them as well. I'll do it with mouthwash in. I'm up in the mirror in the morning, but Wizard Liz, I love her confidence affirmations. They're becoming very subconscious, and I find myself being able to pull on them whenever I can randomly. And it's great for skincare because, like I said, it's 8 minutes, so I do my whole skincare routine and I have all these affirmations in me. And it's great for when I wake up late. And I don't have time to do a meditation immediately, but I'm going to do my skincare because priorities, you know? I can play her affirmations while I'm doing my skincare, and it's boom, boom, boom. Started my day off with something. Got a little bit into my head while I was I'm going to talk about that next, actually. This was a great point to end on, mornings, because tip number five out of five is all about the morning, setting up your morning for success. And you always hear me yapping about the morning time, or maybe you hear other influencers talking about it, but there is a scientifically backed reason. So I was just saying, while I'm doing my skincare, I'll listen to these affirmations. And the reason why that doing any sort of this type of work in the morning is really good is because in the morning, the second you wake up, your brain is going from theta, alpha, to beta waves. It's three different wave patterns. It's going to slowly kind of go through all three until you're completely awake. So I want to talk about another thing, but going back to the affirmations, when you do the affirmations right when you wake up, your brain is more susceptible because it's in those waves, so it's easily able to absorb the information. But if you immediately get up in the morning and you go on your phone, first thing, blue light bright in your face, and you're going on your phone and you're hitting different apps, you're texting people back, you're using your brain power to type and search, you're forcing your brain to immediately go into high beta waves, which means high stress. Your body is actually whoa, and going right into high beta waves and feeling really stressful. And it causes a spike in your dopaminergic system that's actually going to set the tone for your brain and how your brain is going to work throughout the rest of the day. It's going to make you constantly want to check your phone during the day to get that hit of dopamine, because that was your first hit of dopamine in the morning. So it really is, and I can catch myself doing it because I'll do it every now and then. And the days that I start my day by looking at my phone, I'm way more likely to do a TikTok binge for like 10 minutes, or if I take it out, like I'll find myself wanting to look at my phone more. So the rule of thumb is try for 30 minutes to stay off of it. Try not to respond to messages, but scrolling especially. If you have to turn on your phone or something, you can look at it real quick. Sometimes I'll like quickly type in like my meditation, but I'll try to set it up the night before so that when I open my phone in the morning, my meditation's like preloaded. So I just have to like swipe up and it's there, and I don't really have to like look at my phone. But like mindless scrolling or hopping on Instagram or any social media is like not the best. You can rewire your brain to get dopamine from other sources. So like I said, meditation. You can do a meditation in the morning, and I know you're gonna be like, now how? How is sitting there doing the meditation? I gave you the science on it, but how is that a dopamine hit? The cool thing about it is earlier when I was saying like when you don't want to do something, like I don't know if I said that yet actually, but when you actually like do something you don't want to do, it trains your willpower and it also gives you a hit of dopamine when you do it. It's just like going to the gym. You feel real good after you go to the gym or after you get a task done. It gives you that that feeling. When you start your day doing something like that, what do they say? Like, oh my God, there's a saying. It's like win the morning, win the day. It is true in so many ways because you get that, you actually get dopamine from completing a task. So one, meditation is great for your brain. And then the second you're done with it, you're going to get a dopamine hit because you did something that, we're going to be for real, you probably didn't want to do. Like, yes, you know it's good for you and you like understand the benefits, but in the moment you didn't want to do it, which is great. Because now that you did that, you're actually going to get like a second hit of dopamine. So it's actually great. Another dopamine source you can do, you can get up and journal, you can write, you can read a book. You can literally wake up in the morning and read a fantasy book. Like, you can read something fun. You can go to bed at like a cliffhanger in a book, and then when you wake up, you know you get to read it. Like, you can set a timer for like a 10-minute reading session in the morning, and that can really actually help you with your like brain levels throughout the day and your attention span just by reading a few minutes in the morning and reading a book that you're probably already reading. It's just about like rearranging the time that you're doing it, you know? You can also put on a podcast the second you wake up. This way you're being entertained, because I understand we got the monkey mind, so you're being entertained, but you're not staring at a screen, you know? So sometimes I'll put a podcast on as I get up and I make my bed and I kind of tidy up for the morning or like take out my clothes. And this way I'm already moving, but I'm being entertained. You can also practice a language or like do a little puzzle, as long as it's like not on your phone. So our body looks to scrolling and junk food for like a quick hit of dopamine. That's why when you're like not feeling great after work or whatever, you tend to scroll or you want like junk food, because it's an easy way for your body to get dopamine and like latch onto it. So again, we can get out of that. We just need to slowly try and like take an action. And again, when you do something that you don't want to do, it trains your willpower. So just wanted to end with that. We are going to talk about the last part of this episode, which is tips to take care of your brain. And I had a great time compiling all these, so I'm actually really excited for you to hear them. So before we get into it, I have an ad, but it's by me and it's something that's free. So listen up. This actually ties into what we're talking about. I want to tell you about the new intention setting transformation meditation. I've been talking about it in the past few episodes and it's still up and an offer for everybody. So I've mentioned in previous episodes and like 2 seconds ago that your day truly begins with your mornings. When you envision your day, your higher self, who you want to be, you basically lay a powerful blueprint and you get to create a mantra that you can return to during your day. And like I said, scientific research shows that meditating in the morning, when your brain is in that theta state, it allows you to absorb more information effectively. So I'm giving away this meditation that's designed to anchor you in the present moment, allow you to visualize how you want to be during the day, and remind yourself of that vision throughout your day. So I use a little bit of hypnosis in the meditation as well. It incorporates affirmations, just telling you about those guys, that your mind will subconsciously absorb, and it provides benefits such as clarity, peace, motivation, and an immediate shift in energy. So you get to carry a sense of energy and purpose with you all day. So basically, to get this meditation, and it's short enough that you can do in the morning before work, all you got to do is give this show a 5-star rating, and you can even leave a review down below, and you can just DM me a screenshot that you rated the podcast, and I'll send you the link to Keep Forever. So my Instagram is at Happy Holistic Hippie, and again, all you got to do is rate the show 5 stars, leave a review, and send me a screenshot that you did that, and you get to keep the link forever, and you can experience these transformative benefits for yourself. So let's get back into the last part of this episode. So now we're going to talk about ways you can actually like improve your brain and the neuroplasticity in your brain. And a lot of this happens in the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that's responsible for memory and cognition. And I want to shout out my sister because my sister has a BS in psychology. And she told me this because I was writing this episode and doing some research for it, and I mentioned the hippocampus, and she like freaked out and started giving me all these facts. So she was telling me how there's actually a study that they did on taxi drivers, that taxi cab drivers have bigger hippocampuses than most people because they know directions and shortcuts and traffic times. So they know which way to go, they know shortcuts, and they know when traffic's gonna happen because they're constantly like driving on the road, and their hippocampus has grown like because of that, and their brain is actually bigger than most people because they have all of that memorized. It also makes sense that studies on rats, like in mazes, whenever you see like the cartoons or in real life of rat, the way I went right to cartoons, like I constantly reference cartoons, sorry, rats in mazes, it's usually because they're studying their hippocampus size. They will put them in a maze and then they'll change the way the maze is, and they'll let the rat like run through, and then they'll take the rat out and like change one little part of it and see if they can remember it, or they'll put them in a different maze. But it's literally just testing hippocampus sizes. I don't know, I just wanted to share that fact because I thought it was really cool. Like, I never knew that at all. And yeah, okay, so that was my fact on rats and cab drivers in the city. Now we're going to talk about literal things that you can do that will help make your head as big as a rat and a taxi cab driver. So again, yes, these tips are a way that you can like make yourself smarter, whatever, but we're working with neuroplasticity here, which is creating new neural pathways, which has so many benefits for your mind and your body. And it really helps when it comes to aging, because the more we do this, the more we'll be able to retain things in the future. So number one, first thing, listening to educational podcasts or shows. But look at this, you're already listening to this one, so you're already on that track, you're already there. It does so many things for you. If you're listening to podcasts where you're getting exposed to other people talking about different topics, it improves the way you speak, your vocabulary. It also improves the way you carry yourself when you learn new things just by listening to podcasts. And like I said, there's value in listening to other people. So also in the comments below, like, feel free to leave your favorite podcast that you listen to so that we could keep this like a little like resource section. So if there's anything that you listen to that you love and you want to share it, like, leave it below for anybody else to get their little mitts on so that we can grow our brains together. The next thing is studying something. So you never stop being a student. There's been times where I've like, the second I graduated school, I was like, okay, but taking like 30 minutes out of your scrolling time, which we have it because we're always scrolling, to learn something new or study something, and it can still be on your phone, it could be some sort of game or something where you're learning, it really makes a difference. I find it so cool. Like, I'm able to have such better conversations by learning like different topics. I watch weird YouTube videos, TED Talks, podcasts, anything that you don't know. If you see something on TikTok that like spikes your interest, you can research it, you know, and it's so fun. I actually recently joined Skillshare. This isn't like an ad or anything like that. Like, Skillshare has different courses that you can join. I did it to improve my like business side. I wanted to expand on some of my portfolio. So they have like really cool classes where you can create like graphic art, graphic design. You can get better and adept at some of the programs, like all the Adobe softwares, Procreate tutorials on how to draw things. There's like photography stuff in there. There's different productivity things teaching you how to like change your study time or use Notion, things like that. And it's so interesting to me. So I'm actually doing a free trial, but just studying something, like taking your time to learn something new, which, number three, learning a new language. So I've actually been doing this as well. I have a few different things I've been learning, but like whatever you can do to like try to learn a new language, whether it's Duolingo or just listening to, one of my favorite things is listening to an immersive language podcast, which is almost like the podcast plays in the background while you're doing things, or you can just hear conversations. Learning a language is something that like really increases your neural pathways. I know Spanish. Something I didn't like was that when I learned it in school, I learned it as a subject, and I don't think I gave it my best attention. Like, to me, learning a language was very similar to math, and I was never a math person, and being in a classroom setting, I think also being immature, it just made me, like, I was in a class at school, And I was always decent at reading and writing. Like, when I was younger, I was pretty fluent in it. And I even took, like, advanced composition classes in college. But my actual conversational Spanish, I, like, hesitate too much. And then I also sound really white. So that was something I wanted to work on. So I've been doing, like, Duolingo and some other things for the past few years just to, like, keep up with it, you know? And on top of it, listening to, like, immersive podcasts in Spanish has been something that's so fun for me. The other language I've actually been learning for a while is Irish, which is really actually fun for me to learn because it's not, like, a romance language at all. It's just entirely new, like, everything. And I've known bits and phrases when I was younger, but not legitimately, like, conversational. But I can hold my own in a conversation in Irish now. It's actually so fun. And I've been doing this for, like, the past year, so it's not even that long of a time, and I'm, like, so excited about it. And it's not that I will be able to use it too often, but it's something I wanted to learn. And like I was saying, it's not like a romance language where, like, French and, like, Spanish and, like, Italian, they have very similar Latin roots with some words, you know? Even, like, Portuguese, because I know a little Portuguese. They're a little bit more similar. Irish is its own new thing. It has its own alphabet and everything. If you're interested, I've actually found, because Duolingo has a course, and it's not the best. It has, like, AI speakers on it, and the pronunciation is off, and it's also, like, three different dialects in Irish, and it's really weird on Duolingo. It's good for learning the vocabulary, and I still use it. Like, I use it to get familiar with vocabulary and, like, keep a refresher, but I found that there's an app called Mango. This goes for any language. Mango is so good. It's a free app, and they have free courses that, like, go in depth, and the pronunciation is on point, so I actually got that from recommendations from other, like, native Irish speakers, that Mango is a really good app in the way they teach it. And then there's an app, Guelga, which it's literally just Guelga, and it's also really nice. So I have all three of those, and I use them like when I'm, like, on public transportation or anything. Instead of scrolling, I'll step back and use a language app, and I find, one, I know a language now, which is so cool, and it keeps me busy. I like it so much more now that I'm older than I did in school, so I feel like I didn't appreciate learning languages as much when I was in high school as I do now. But it's so fun, and it literally, like, is so good for you, and it can help you, like, keep your brain nice and fresh as you get older. So definitely language. On the same part of the brain, learning a new instrument is in the same development, like, area. So if a language isn't for you, learning some sort of new instrument hits the same receptors in the brain and helps create new neural pathways as well. Exploring new places. So even just taking, like, a new route in the same place, like I was talking about the taxi drivers, memorizing maps and going new places is how you can also increase that part of your brain. It's doing something new, you know, doing something where you're exploring something you haven't done before. That's what's going to help with neural pathways in the brain. So even doing a different type of art or a new hobby, going to a new place, like, they literally have, like, art lounges and bars that you can go to where, like, some of them sell alcohol, some don't, but you can go and do, like, a figure sketching class or work with, like, air dry clay, like, trying some sort of new medium, which, if you've listened to any other episode that I've ever done, I've talked about getting into your creative side and trying new things for other benefits, but for your brain, it's so good as well. So it's probably a great thing to hear that, right? Another thing, like I said, we're just going to mention it one more time because it technically is a way to take care of your brain, and I want to reiterate the three things that come with it. Meditation activities. So any sort of meditation, whether it's guided, it can even be like different types of sound baths, they activate so many regions of the brain. They increase dopamine, serotonin, GABA, and overall helps to change your default state of mood, which we talked about before. So have to mention her again, as I always do. And this one's really fun. So using your other hand to do things. So your non-dominant hand, it's not only a way that you can form, like, new neural pathways, but it actually helps to, like, strengthen the connectivity between existing neurons in your brain. So example could be, like, brushing your teeth in the morning with the other hand. So let's say, I'm going to assume you're righty. I'm sorry. Just for example purposes, okay? You're a right-hand person, so brushing your teeth in the morning with your left hand. Or if you brush your hair with a comb, you can try it. You can also try to do fun things like braiding your hair with a different hand, like going first or whatever. But little things like that can help keep your mind nice and sharp, which is what we want. And the last bit here is nutrition as well. So funny enough, one episode I'm thinking of making has to do with glucose and blood sugar. It ties into insulin and PCOS and all of that. As usual, let me know. I always like make episodes, but if you really want something, like, I appreciate giving me a push, like giving me a comment, giving me a DM that you're like, yeah, girl, get on the mic for that one. But number 7 is high glucose spikes are actually something that can contribute to aging your brain, because glucose spikes, oh, I could talk about this forever. I'm currently reading the book again, the Glucose Goddess book. I think it's Glucose Revolution is her book, but check out the Glucose Goddess on Instagram if you haven't. This topic is so interesting. But glucose spikes, which is when you eat like glucose, something that breaks down to glucose or some sort of fructose, you get a spike in the body and then it's followed by a drop. So overall, we're constantly going through different levels of like spikes and drops. The higher the spike, the lower the drop. And the more we have of those high spikes and low drops, it can actually lead to some like health consequences in the body, usually a form of inflammation, but it does contribute to aging, both the body and the brain on a cellular level. So glycation happens, and the way she describes it in the book is glycation is like your bones, when you're born, your bones are white and they actually like brown over time. And the faster they become brown is like the more you're aging. That's like a sign of aging. So you can actually slow down that rate by like nutrition and lifestyle and things like that. So the glycation again is like when your bones get brown, like at the end of the day, that's kind of what it is when your cells age. So glucose spikes can increase the rate at which like glycation happens, aka the cells are going to age faster. It's going to make you look older, but not like in a good way. Not only does it like affect aging, but it can increase mood swings, memory impairment, brain fog, and in general, it creates less neuroplasticity in the hippocampus, which is, again, like we're talking about, is the area of the brain that's really important for learning and memory. So eating lots of like sugary foods without, I don't want to like talk about the whole topic because I definitely will do a podcast episode on it, but the Glucose Goddess gives a lot of good information as well. But breakfast is a good example. Like waking up and eating a super sugary breakfast can give you a glucose spike. Another thing you can do is trying to have fiber before you eat. So fiber creates like a mesh in your stomach that can absorb like carbohydrates a lot better. So eating fiber before like each meal, or eating the fiber portion of your meal first, can help like mitigate the how high the glucose spikes go. And also when you have carbs, if you can try to pair it with a fat or a protein, that's a really good tip as well. But again, that's a loaded topic. We can go into it a lot more, and you can also find a lot more information out there, and that can be the thing you study if you want to deep dive into glucose spikes, because they're really interesting and they do relate to a lot of things in health. And another thing is avoiding a diet of really, really fried foods, because there are studies that show that fried foods do lead to lower memory and cognition. And that about wraps it up for the brain episode, for the neuroplasticity episode, for, I don't know what I'm calling the episode yet at this point because I record before I come up with a title, for the how to change your DNA episode, how to chemically glow up. Only you'll know at this moment what I chose, because I don't know yet. But thank you so much for tuning in. As always, any questions, any comments, any stories, anything you want to relate to, I guess you can comment it now below, or send it over to me on Instagram at Happy Holistic Hippie. I love hearing from you guys. Thank you so much for sitting through this episode, letting me give you my little bit of drama in the beginning. I don't like to go too much into it, so it won't come back up again. And yeah, I'm so happy I'm back on the mic. As I've been recording this episode, I feel so much more like myself again. I promise I won't be away from this again. I got some cool travel coming up and some cool things as well. If you want, I'll give you some more information as we go. I can't really reveal anything about that right now, but I will soon. Again, if you want the free meditation, just give this podcast 5 stars, leave a review, and shoot me a message with a screenshot, and you can get that meditation. I will see you guys next week. Have a beautiful day.